Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
So good, so good, so good.
Perfect gifts? We've got them at Nordstrom Rack stores now. UGG, Nike, Barefoot Dreams, Kate Spade New York, and more. Find everything on their wish list, all in one place.
Steve Madden? Yes, please.
It's perfect.
Did we just score?
The greatest gifts of all time? Yeah.
Head to your Nordstrom Rack store to score. Great brands, great prices, the greatest gifts of all time.
Even the busiest of holiday schedules is no match for Alo Moves, the streaming wellness platform where you can sculpt your muscles, unwind with a yoga class, or even learn the art of awareness with their latest meditation offerings. On demand, whenever works for you. And right now, for Cyber Week, you can get almost 40% off your one-year membership with great deals on six-month and monthly memberships, too. Start saving today at allomoves.com. Allomoves.com.
Holiday gatherings are happening. Stack on the sparkle this season with unforgettable jewelry from Blue Nile. Right now, save up to 50% with Blue Nile's Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals. Blue Nile offers an endless selection of bold gold styles, gemstone jewelry, and classic diamond pieces. So you can take your holiday party look to new levels of glam. Or gift yourself elegance for every day of the year. Shop now for up to 50% off jewelry at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
You got the kind of loving that can be so smooth, yeah. Give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it.
What a tune.
What a banger.
Yeah, brilliant. Has it got anything to do with today's episode?
Not at all.
Oh, good, right. shall we reveal what we're talking about today, then?
Well, my friend, how much do you know about leprechauns?
Very little. very small amount.
Very small amount.
Small, yeah. Am I right in thinking that they are wealthy Irish midgets?
In a way, yes. But I don't know. Can we call them little people?
Little people?
Yeah.
Is midget not another term for a little person?
I don't know. I don't know if it's PC. I don't know what the rules are on it. I've heard other people say it, but
we're a comedy con podcast.
We're a comedy podcast. That's all right.
Please don't get offended.
We don't mean it. Yeah. Today, I thought, well, we've had quite a few banging episodes, but they've been very painful on the brain, haven't they?
Yeah,
they've been deep, they've been making us question all sorts of realities and dimensions,
our own lives.
Really contemplating what's going on in the world. So I thought, why not lighten the mood and get this new year of Paranormality UK off to a great, fantastic start?
Yeah,
something a bit more lighthearted and fun. So I thought, we're gonna do leprechauns.
Okay.
So, leprechauns, for those that don't know, I'll give a brief statement. A supernatural being in Irish folklore, classed by many as a type of fairy, sprite, or pixie. They are usually depicted as little bearded men wearing a coat and hat.
Green.
Well, that'll come up later, my friend.
Well, I'm pretty sure they normally dress in green, don't they? That's why I've got this, well, fairly green jacket on and green in my bandana. This is the greenest bandana that I could find.
I appreciate it. And that is why we've gone for a bit of a green theme.
Green theme.
But what might surprise you later on is the origins of leprechauns and why they're now green. So I'll come back to that.
They went mouldy.
No comment. So they're usually found wearing coats and hats, who partake in mischief and practical jokes. In later times, they have been depicted as shoemakers or cobblers, who have a hidden pot of gold at the end of a rainbow.
Oh,
so that's
enough.
A brief description of what leprechauns are.
I knew about the pot of gold and the rainbow thing.
Yep.
Didn't know they were cobblers.
Well, That also comes up into it, which is a funny little story. So leprechauns also a funny little story.
This doesn't sound right in an Irish accent, does it? Can I shine your shoes, Governor?
No, it is odd how they have this thing of being shoemakers and cobblers, because they don't do it for other people. So I'll get to that.
Oh, right, okay.
But leprechauns typically live in caves, moors, forests, and gardens.
Right.
So I don't know if that's their own gardens or if it's other people's gardens.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess if they own a garden, they can live in it. They don't have to put up a house, do they?
True. I was thinking then toadstools, but I think that's pixies and fairies. Yeah, but they are part of that family.
So. Yeah, they're all sort of part of the fae folk, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah, I thought if I was a pixie, leprechaun, something in that kind of thing, I would hollow out a tree and live in a big oak tree or something. Yeah. I think that'd be a nice house.
Sounds nice. I think I'd find an old boot.
Oh, nice. That'd have to be a big old boot to fit a leprechaun in.
Well, yeah. I'd put a little thatched roof on it and everything. It'd look lovely.
That would. So leprechauns are actually rarely appear in Irish mythology and only become prominent in later folklore. So there's a little fact for you.
Okay, fair enough. So they're a relatively recent thing then, are they? Have you got a date when that they first started this time? Or?
Yes.
You have? Am I going to be surprised? Can I guess?
Go on then.
Right, I'm going to go.
The first mention of a leprechaun.
1743.
8th century.
8th century. There you go. You surprised me.
The 8th century. Bam. And
bam, I didn't see that coming.
The stories of leprechauns were known as, they were tiny water dwellers.
Oh, right.
And this story became popular and was circulating among the Celts or the Celtics.
So the leprechauns are kind of the original mermaids then?
Yeah.
Little bearded mermaids.
In a way, yeah, just about the fishtail. But yeah, they were just known for being tiny water dwellers.
Oh, fair enough.
And the word or the name leprechaun comes from luchapan, which means small body.
But there we go. Yeah, see, we are getting to the nitty-gritty of it now, aren't we? Luchapan. Is that Gaelic or some kind of Celtic language?
It's Celtic.
Yeah?
So luchapan. And it's fitting because leprechauns are always between 2 to 3 feet tall at maximum height.
Oh, right.
So they'd never seem to get higher than 3 feet tall.
Good to know. So they are wealthy little midgets then.
Yeah, yeah. We have to stop saying midget. We can't. I don't know the rules on it.
I'm trying to push them.
We're edgy. I'm all for being edgy and pushing the boundaries. But when I'm a little bit scared. I don't want to get cancelled. I don't know. I just don't know about that word.
Fair enough.
I just feel bad. I don't know. Little people, I suppose. But then I don't know if that's wrong. I don't know.
I think we've got to be a little bit looser about it, haven't we? I mean...
So there are numerous variants from different regions of Ireland about leprechauns and the words, the meanings, and the different definitions of leprechaun.
Right.
So we'll start off with John O'Donovan. O'Donovan, there's a lot of O's and mooks in this.
I imagine there probably will be.
So John O'Donovan.
Oh, really?
That actually is right there.
That's O'Reilly.
Well, yeah. John O'Donovan's supplement to O'Reilly's Irish English Dictionary defines a leprechaun as a sprite or pygmy of diminutive size who also carries a purse containing a shilling.
A shilling? Oh, not a shamrock.
No, a shilling.
Right.
And the Irish term, Leithbragan, in O'Reilly's dictionary, has also been recognised as an alternative spelling.
Fair enough.
Leithbragan.
Leithbragan,
Sounds, I don't know, it sounds like a mythical creature to me, a Leithbragan.
Leithbragan? It's a little bit like leprechaun, I suppose.
Yeah. I slayed the Leithbragan. That's what it sounds like. Other spellings of leprechaun include lubricant.
Lubricant, okay.
Lubricant. So the Graham Norton of leprechaun.
Because it sounds like lubricant.
Yeah. Leprechaun and Leo Prachan.
Right, okay. Is that different pronunciations from the different regions in Ireland then, from the different types of leprechaun?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Different spellings and slightly different ways of saying it, depending on where you go in Ireland. But I assume this is back in the day.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. I imagine everyone nowadays just calls them leprechauns. So the first recorded instance of the word in the English language of leprechaun was in Dekker's comedy play The Honest Whore in 1604.
Right.
Which sounds like a great song, The Honest Whore in 1604. And if you would allow me, I'd like to read a little quote from the play, because it's in Old English, I suppose.
Go for it. Have a go.
Shall I try my terrible Irish accent?
You can give it a go, yeah.
As for your Irish lubricant, that spirit, whom by preposterous charms they lust hath raised in a wrong circle. There you go. That's a little quote from the play of The Honest Whore in 1604.
Okay.
But that is the...
Zero sense.
No, it makes no sense. But that was just the first mention of the actual word leprechaun in 1604, was this play.
Oh, so that was kind of the first written version.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Another early known reference to the leprechauns appears in the medieval tale known as Ectra Fergus Magletti. This translates to The Adventures of Fergus Son of The Adventures Fergus, of Fergus Son of Letty.
Yeah.
The text contains an episode in which Fergus Magletti, King of Ulster, falls asleep on the beach and wakes to find himself being dragged into the sea by three leprechauns. He then captures the leprechauns, who grant him three wishes in exchange for his release, or for their release, sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I think I've heard about something with leprechauns and wishes, kind of like a genie sort of situation, isn't it?
Yeah, that actually comes up quite a lot in the folklore, is if it's not a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, it's granting people wishes.
Or isn't there something to do with luck as well? I mean, I know there's the luck of the Irish, but doesn't that come from leprechauns as well? Do you like cut off their toes or something and keep them?
No, it's just because they're incredibly wealthy. Leprechauns are incredibly wealthy.
Oh, so it's not like foxes' tails and rabbits' feet and stuff.
No,
like
no.
It's... Leprechaun finger.
No. That would be quite cool to have, though, wouldn't it? How are you so lucky? Oh, I got a leprechaun finger. And then you're on the slot machines using the actual leprechaun finger.
Dealing cards out with a little stubby finger. Like
It actually sounds quite practical, to be honest. The leprechaun is said to be a solitary creature whose principal occupation is making and cobbling shoes. He also enjoys practical jokes and mischief. Also, I did look into the fact of whether there was lady leprechauns.
I was just wondering that when you said they're solitary creatures. I was like, well, how do they mate?
This is the thing, because they're like mythical. There seems to be, in old folklore, no mention of lady leprechauns.
That's because they've all got beards and you can't tell the difference.
Well, imagine if there was lady leprechauns with beards.
Yeah.
But there's no mention of it in old folklore or anything. There are mention of lady leprechauns like with modern... Like, I could only find maybe a couple of stories with like lady leprechauns and things. Right. But they are essentially just like what we would picture as fairies and pixies and things. They don't actually look like bearded leprechauns.
Oh.
So it's a weird thing. Like, it does come up how leprechauns reproduce.
Okay.
Which
I'll look forward to that.
It's very mystical. So
did nobody ever teach you the birds and the bees, Josh?
No, I actually don't know.
Oh, fair enough. Carry on doing your research then, mate.
So in this one, it's in Irish now. I don't want to mess it up. McAnally?
Looks like McAnally, yeah.
So in McAnally's 1988 account...
Don't
want
to pronounce it the other way, because then we really are pushing it.
Yeah, yeah, that would be on the edge. Oh, that's maybe where lubricant comes from.
Could be.
In McAnally's 1988 account, the leprechaun was not a professional cobbler, but was frequently seen mending his own shoes as he runs about so much, causing so much mischief, he wears his own shoes out.
Obviously, with such tiny feet, it's hard to get hold of new shoes, so you just got to keep repairing them.
So that's where that actually comes from, of associating leprechauns with being cobblers and shoemakers. They're not doing it for other people.
It's the only time they see them doing anything that ain't mischief.
Yeah. They're such terrors that they just wear the bottoms of their shoes. Where are we? So this is said to be the best opportunity for a human to capture a leprechaun and refuse to release him until the leprechaun gives him supernatural wealth or three wishes.
Ah, okay.
So when they're mending their shoes, that's the time to leap out.
They can't run away.
Capture a leprechaun finger for your own good luck. So some...
Give me a finger. Yeah. No, no, don't do it. I'll give you three wishes. No, I just want your finger.
So some folklore shows a darker side to the small bearded fellows, and that is said that they are sometimes menacing. Well, they are sometimes seen being menacing and spiriting children away.
Ooh.
Almost like the child snatcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
So that's the darker side of leprechauns. But McAnally states that leprechauns are not all good and they're not all bad. They're always in the middle, which is why they're mischievous and they like practical jokes. There's no malice behind leprechauns.
They're not like evil, like imps or anything.
No,
like that.
Not at all. No, they're always just mischievous. They like to have a laugh, which I love that because it kind of does sum up the Irish in a way. Like they do seem to be up for a good time and having a laugh.
It sums up a lot of the fae folk as well. Because I know we haven't really done an episode on fairies. It is on the list, but we've kind of pushed it to one side I don't know how many times. But actually sort of where I come from, my family originates obviously Wales. There's very strong folklore about fairies and that in Wales, and they're depicted as mischievous little creatures, just the same as these leprechauns.
Ah, so they're all part of that same family of sprites and pixies and things, and they all just like a bit of mischief.
Yeah.
Ah, that's interesting.
It's entertainment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
For them, at least.
Yeah. But this is where I said about how they reproduce. So McAnally states that leprechauns come from evil spirits and degenerate fairies.
Right, degenerate fairies.
Yeah, so make what you will of that. That's just what I found about it.
Okay. So, X-rated Tinkerbell.
Yeah, which I'm guessing makes sense because evil spirits would be the bad side and the degenerate fairies would maybe be a slightly nicer side. I don't really know, but...
I don't know. Well, they were first mentioned in a play about a whore, so, you know.
So maybe that's where they come from. And it is also said... I'm sure you just said, Josh, where on earth do they get all their massive wealth from?
Josh, where on earth do they get all their massive wealth from?
Well, my friend, I'm glad you asked. That's a really good question.
Do they steal it from Welsh dragons?
And they don't.
Take it across the Welsh Channel and hoard it for themselves?
No, because you've just reminded me that dragons do kind of stand on big old piles
of gold.
They sleep
on piles of gold. So, you know, it only makes sense that leprechauns go and nick it off the dragons and take it back to Ireland.
If we were playing Dungeons and Dragons, that could be a very strong possibility.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you've got research to the contrary.
Yeah. And it is said that leprechauns get their wealth from treasure crocs. And I'm not talking about the shoes. Like crock pots.
Right.
So treasure crocs. And they were buried. This sentence doesn't make sense to me, but buried of old in wartime.
Okay.
And then they've uncovered these big old treasure crocs and then appropriated
them. Oh, it's Nazi gold.
I don't know.
We're probably looking a bit older than that, aren't we? Times of old.
Yes. You're on a roll today, man.
So
you've said the M word, and now you've said the N word. Well, the other N word.
The other N word, yeah.
So, I mean, I like living on the edge, but...
I'm going for it, man. Bring on the hate.
Well, it's been a good year, everyone. Thanks for supporting the show. Unfortunately, we're going to get cancelled after this. Who would have thought leprechauns would be our downfall?
We can't get cancelled.
We're not big enough for that, yes. Now.
There ain't a production company that's taking us on.
Yeah, we don't have sponsors yet either, so we can't. To be honest, we don't have anything to really worry about. What we'll do is we'll do traditional style. So in 10, 15 years' time, someone will bring up an old podcast and they'll go, oh, remember when they said that word? And then we'll get cancelled in like 15 years' time.
But, that's fine.
Yeah, by then it'll be all good. Yeah. So the green, we were talking about
green, yes, the colour green.
Traditionally green.
Because they have little shamrock umbrellas and they all dress in green tunics, don't they?
Yes. And just like Christmas has just passed, and remember the whole story of Santa being red, but originally he was green?
Yes.
This is the exact opposite.
Oh.
Leprechauns originally had a different appearance depending on where in Ireland they were found.
Oh, okay.
So before the 20th century, it was said that they wore red and not green. Covered in gold or silver, shoes had buckles, and sometimes with frills, like Austin Powers.
Their little hat has a buckle on it as well.
Yeah, their hat and shoes have buckles, and they had frills like Austin Powers.
Oh, okay.
Like that kind of, like, cummerbund kind of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
There's, in some, obviously, depending on where you go in Ireland as well, some leprechauns, they have different size hats.
Right.
But it is said that...
Because they've got different size heads.
Well, yeah, I mean, 2 to 3 feet tall, who knows? But one part of Ireland is they are said to have such big hats that it's almost the same size as their body. That
right.
As part of their mischief, they used to turn upside down and balance on their hats.
Okay.
I don't know what they were trying to achieve, but it was some sort of mischief or prank, as people would walk by and there would be an upside down leprechaun.
Fair enough.
Good job they weren't Scottish.
First
and
thing
had
that
kilts.
Came to my mind was that they'd hoik their arms and legs in and the cat would fall down over their head and they could hide under it.
Another possibility with such a big hat. So another one in Ireland is magic wands.
Right.
And swords.
Right.
Again, depending on where you go in Ireland.
The leprechauns carry swords and magic wands.
Separately. Some had magic wands, yeah. Some had swords.
So the little wizard people as well.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they had wizardry in there.
They've got to be magical, haven't they? They're granting wishes and stuff. So.
Yeah. So green became part of the leprechaun's appearance in 1642, as green is traditionally the national colour of Ireland.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's,
I would say that.
That's
yeah.
When they kind of switched it over and was like, the red doesn't look great, let's bring in the green.
It's kind of like that on St. Patrick's Day, isn't it? Everybody dresses up in green and drinks Guinness.
Yeah.
I probably should have got Guinness for today's episode, really, but I actually don't really like it that much. So.
What's funny is...
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts, who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions, and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Quick story is when I had like an iron deficiency a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So the doctor recommended like just drinking Guinness, you know, like 2 or 3 a week or whatever. And it worked. And I wasn't a fan of Guinness either, really. I was mixing blackcurrant. I think they call it Guinness and black or whatever. So I was drinking that and I quite liked it. So when I went over to see the Irish family, they said, they're Northern Irish. I always forget the accent. They said, you haven't had a proper Guinness until you've
had one in Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland. So They took me down to a little pub, which, by the way, Auntie Tracy, that is the most horrendous picture anyone has ever taken of me. When I'm straight off a flight and I'm taking a sip and she took a picture and I had bags under my eyes and I looked like a crackhead. So if you're listening, Auntie Tracy, thank you for that. So, but she
Auntie Tracy, can you send me this picture?
No, definitely not. It's terrible. I look about 55. So so she, lovely, her and her husband
took
David.
Took a few years off you then.
Oh, cheeky. Oh, if I had three wishes, mate, or a lucky leprechaun finger, you'd be in trouble. So my lovely Auntie Tracy and Uncle David, they bought me a traditional Guinness from an Irish pub.
Right.
And I've never had anything more metallic in my mouth ever. Like, it was such a different taste to the difference between the English and Irish Guinness was insane. And I actually preferred the English one. Sorry, Irish people. I honestly did prefer the English one. It's not as strong. So, right.
I used to work with a New Zealander.
Yeah.
And he said that Guinness does not travel to New Zealand well.
No?
No, he preferred... Well, I think he did go to Ireland. He did try Guinness in Ireland, got a bit of a taste for it. And then when he came back here, he did carry on drinking a bit of Guinness. And he was like, yeah, it's so much better than it is over in New Zealand. It does not travel well.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So would you like to know where the kind of hats and fashion and things of leprechauns, where it all came from, in a way?
Go on, then.
So
I'm not massive into my fashion, but, you know.
Neither were the Irish. So.
No, that's it shows, doesn't it?
So the hat comes from the, or not just the hat and other clothes, but mainly the hat, comes from the fashion of the Irish immigrants that fled to the USA for the...
The old Irish potato famine.
Yeah, that's
1845 the one. To, well, 1845 to a few years later.
Yeah.
I think it came to a head in like 1847, because obviously they had like 2 years of really, really bad potato blight. People were eating grass and all sorts, just, you know, because there was literally no food. They relied on potatoes.
Yeah.
And yeah, after like 2 years of literally zero crops, they all just went up and, yeah, no, we're getting out of here.
Yeah.
Go to the USA.
Do you think that's partly why people associate Irish with loving potatoes and things?
Yeah, probably.
It's like that story kind of goes into it.
Yeah, well, Ireland is almost got the perfect climate for potatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is like a bug or a grub or something like that that like attacks potato, and obviously once it had got to Ireland, that being like, because you can per square meter, you can almost grow more potatoes than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly in soil that's absolutely ripe for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they just literally planted almost 100% of their crops were potatoes.
Nice.
For export and for themselves, obviously, they could make a good living off potatoes. But then when that famine hit in 1845, I mean, the first year, I think it wiped out about 50% of the harvest.
No, that's a lot.
The second year was like 90 to 95% of it.
Cool.
And,
yeah,
you know, on the third year, with their stocks of running... just running out. There's just nothing left, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, like I say, they were even, like, pulling up grass out of the ground to eat that, you know, just for some kind of vegetation, some kind of food. And eventually, I think, like, a good sort of... I don't know what the exact percentage of it, but somewhere up to maybe 50% of the population just uprooted and just...
Fled to America.
Yeah.
Which is why you've got such a big St. Patrick's Day and Irish-American pubs. And like kind of integrating into
America. They then a lot of them started working on the railroads as well, didn't they? With along with the black immigrants and the slaves, and stuff like that, because it was the only work that they could find over there.
Yeah,
if they were lucky enough to get paid for it, if they weren't just, you know, roped into being slaves themselves.
Yeah, that makes sense. And some of the best crisps I've ever had are Irish, and I believe the company is called Tato.
Oh, fair play.
So along with the big hats, it came from Elizabethan clothes, and
Yeah, I can see that. The hat is very much in the style of old Elizabethan stuff. Mm. Yeah,
and they were still very popular and common in Ireland in the 19th century, long after they were out of fashion for England and other countries.
Yeah, they're a bit behind the times, aren't they?
Yeah, and they are. And it was the same for the buckles on the shoes and the garments and things part of the immigrants and things going over. So I've got a lovely little fact here that is fantastic because I thought of you when I saw this because everybody knows every episode you like to have a beer.
Yeah.
There is a specific type of leprechaun called a clericorn.
A clericorn.
A clericorn.
Clericorn.
Clericorn. C-L-U-R. Okay. And then, clericorn. And it is considered to be one of the most mischievous leprechauns because it goes out on regular drinking sprees.
I can see that, has a few tipples, and then goes, hey, let's go and cause some mischief.
And it just drinks all day and just causes mischief everywhere, but there's its own name for it. Clericorn.
Clericorn.
So, films, animated cartoons, and advertising have popularized a specific image of what we know as leprechauns today. We've already said green hats, buckles, beard.
Lucky the Leprechaun on the front of Lucky Charms box.
Yep, 100%.
Typical leprechaun, isn't it?
Everybody has an image of a leprechaun.
Yeah.
This actually bears little resemblance to anything found in Irish folklore.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
I've seen a few pictures of Irish folklore, and when it first started with leprechauns, they were actually a little bit like goblins, like Gollum as well from Lord of the Rings.
Okay, yeah. Didn't have quite such a human appearance back then.
No, it was actually a bit more kind of like, menacing and a bit, stay away from it.
Not red hair and a beard.
No, not at all. So some argue that this was popularized, the image of what we know today is popularized, from a series of stereotypes based on derogatory anti-Irish 19th century caricatures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's where that comes
people
from.
People taking a mickey out of them.
Yeah.
Is what it comes from.
Yes. So
and
it's
we've kind of carried on the tradition here, haven't we?
You have.
I have.
Council fire it, not me. I'll do this solo, baby. So it is now that time. Pop culture.
Pop culture.
So I haven't got much. I don't know if many people are aware, but in 2023, there's not that much leprechauning going around.
Not really, no. Apart from on St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, St. Paddy's Day, St. Patrick's Day, everybody goes nuts and they have green beer and all sorts.
Yeah.
Dying food green. And
I can't mention it now, can I?
What's that?
Vertically challenged people that dress up in green on St. Paddy's Day are going to be celebrated as leprechauns, aren't they?
Very true. Yeah, I imagine with the drink and everything, that's the one time of the year they probably embrace it, though.
They probably do, imagine. Because everybody will love them as well, won't they? Leprechaun! Everybody be drying, buying them drinks and lifting them up on their shoulders. We got a leprechaun! We got a leprechaun!
They wouldn't have to pay for a drink that day. No, there's no way. So this is pop culture, but not really. It's just worth mentioning. So this is the boring one. I'll get out of the way. So Nobel Prize winning economist, that's the one. Paul Krugman coined the term. Oh, I'm getting all myself in a
He was an economist that coined a term?
Yes.
Right, okay.
He coined the term leprechaun economics to describe distorted or unsound economic data, which he first used in a tweet on the 12th of July 2016 in response to the publication by the Irish General Statistics Office that Irish gross domestic product had grown by 26.3% and Irish gross national product had grown by 18.7%
sorry.
In the 2015 Irish national accounts.
Oh.
So the growth was subsequently shown to be due to Apple reconstructing its double Irish tax scheme, which the EU Commission had fined $13 billion in 2004 to 2014 of Irish unpaid taxes. The largest corporate tax fine in history. The term has been used many times since. So I thought that was worth
mentioning. Leprechaun tax.
Leprechaun economics.
Leprechaun, okay.
Yeah, so a little bit of history there. I said it was boring.
Yeah, very, very boring, but essential.
Yeah, yeah.
For the complete story.
So the actual pop culture.
Yeah, here we go.
You've got...
Let me think. Well, we've already covered Lucky Charms.
Yeah, Lucky, the Lucky Charms mascot.
There was that horror film that Wayne's World took the Mickey out of, you know, the Leprechaun, Leprechaun.
American horror film Leprechaun in 1993. Yeah. Would you like to take a guess who plays the leprechaun? What's the most famous acting little person you can think of?
I say the guy that played Willow. What's his name?
I don't know Willow.
I can't remember.
If I said he played Wicket in Star Wars as an Ewok and he's friends with Ricky Gervais.
Oh, I know what you mean, but I can't think of his name, eh?
Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Willow, yeah. Oh, yeah,
he's,
yeah.
He's Willow, is he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1993 American horror slasher film, Leprechaun. It's actually quite popular.
Yeah, it had the, what's her name, from Friends in it as well, didn't it?
Oh, Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. So you've got that one. You got the Disney film Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Okay.
Which features a leprechaun king, and again, it goes back to the Three Wishes story, kind right, of yeah, similar yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah. The Notre Dame leprechaun, or is it Notre Dame. Leprechaun, the mascot for the University of Notre Dame. You've got Lucky, the leprechaun mascot of the Boston Celtics, which is an American basketball team, which is actually my basketball team.
Really?
I don't really like that basketball that much, but if anyone says, do you support a basketball team? I always say the Boston Celtics.
Is that because their uniform's green?
Yeah, that is literally it. Yeah. I couldn't tell you a single player. I just literally like the colours.
I know you like the colour green. It's your favourite colour.
So green, white and black and the and stuff. So, and you've got, and worth a mention, Hornswoggle. Have you heard of Hornswoggle?
Hornswoggle. Can't say I haven't, no.
He is a character played by Dylan Mark Postel, who is a little person wrestler for the WWE.
Oh, okay.
And his character was Hornswoggle, and he was like a leprechaun.
He's a leprechaun.
He used to always hide under the ring and cause mischief.
Fair play. Yeah.
So shout out to Hornswoggle, because I actually liked him back in the day. He was awesome.
And it sounds like a very Irish name, to be fair. Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to work with a guy called Scott. Hi, Scott. And he always told me a story about a bloke that he used to work with that was Irish. He was like a foreman on a building site. And he'd come along and tell Scott what to do each day. Scott couldn't understand a single word that he'd say other than the words slabs and steel. Yeah. And I said to him, well, what did he sound like? And he goes, hoodly, hadly, hadly, hoodly, hadly, slabs.
Yeah.
When I worked with him, he'd walk around the place just going, hoodly, hadly, hadly, hoodly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard, depending on where in Ireland, it
and
is
how
quite
broad
hard.
Their accent is. It can be very hard to understand them.
And I've actually heard it as well. It's a bit like how in England, where you go to like Newcastle, Manchester, we all speak English, but we all have different accents. And apparently in Ireland, it's very similar. Like, depending on where you go, they have thicker Irish accents
to the point where
they just sound a little bit drunk.
Yeah, I imagine they probably struggle to understand each other the same way like anybody from down south struggles to understand the northern, like the Geordies. And
sometimes, if
they got real strong Geordie accents, sometimes it just makes me laugh, but sometimes it is actually hard to understand what they're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all I've got for you, mate. That is leprechauns in a nutshell. And they can fit in nutshells. So that's what I've got for you.
Big nuts. Yeah. Let's put it to the paranormality scale then.
10.
10.
No one ever gets a 10.
No one gets a 10. But I do like leprechauns.
Yeah.
As a thing. I think they're brilliant little creation. You know, even if the mythology that we've got of them today. Mm-hmm. You know, you catch a leprechaun, you can get 3 wishes, or you can get a pot of gold.
Yeah.
Or both, I suppose. One of your wishes could be a pot of gold.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so infinite wealth.
Mm.
Yeah, I like them. I like them. I didn't know as much, didn't really know anything about them, to be honest, apart from, you know, little green clothed red-haired, bearded people. Yeah. They were mischievous and pots of gold.
So. And I will just add as well, some people always think that leprechauns, they have beards and everything, but they're all ginger. No. You can get leprechauns in all kinds of shades. Brunette, blonde. I've seen grey leprechauns.
Okay.
So they're not always ginger.
Well, I guess we always think of like the Irish and the Scottish, really, as being the like the red-haired faction within the UK, isn't it? So that's, I guess that's why that is such a widespread thing. I like leprechauns. I can't give them a low rating. I mean, I don't know if I believe in leprechauns, but I believe in little people.
Mm, they're a thing, yeah.
And I think any little person, I'm not going to use the M word again, but yep. I think that any vertically challenged person that dresses up in green and goes drinking Guinness and jaunting around the streets on St. Paddy's Day, he's as much a leprechaun to me as anyone could be.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are real.
Yeah.
They have to be. So I'm going to give it 8.3.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go straight in with an 8.8.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I really like leprechauns. Because my biggest fear when I started researching was, how am I going to fill out half hour of leprechauns? But the more I researched it, the more I got into it, heard little stories and read little things about them, and I actually really enjoyed researching this one. So I'm going to rate it quite high and give it an 8.8. And I am a little bit biased because I have Irish family. So I'm going to give it an 8.8.
So that would give us an 8.55 average.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I think that's reasonable for leprechauns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we have it.
The land of the little people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. So if you're a leprechaun, or a who wears green,
or your small one have big nuts,
yeah, write in, send us an email, paranormality.uk@gmail.com, if you want to get us cancelled. It's not that email. But you can find us on TikTok and Instagram and Discord. If you really want to complain about us, come and join our Discord and just rip into us on there.
Yeah.
That'd
be fun.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. If you have a picture of a leprechaun, definitely send it in.
If you have a leprechaun's finger, for good luck, let us know.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, send that in.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give it to us. We'll have some of that.
We need it. Especially after today's episode.
Yes. Yes.
I guess that's it for leprechauns, isn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing else to say.
Nothing else we can do, no. And I'm not going to go heavy into the self-promotional stuff today, you know, all that sort of jazz. So I guess until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in and so good. Thousands of winter deals are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
Because I've been looking for these.
Because the best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off. Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.